This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Fearlessly with your host, Lisa McDonald.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on silver stars.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so very much for joining me, rejoining me here again on this lovely Friday morning. My name is Lisa McDonald, host of Living Fearlessly with the Contact Talk Radio Network. Listenership spans to 145 countries, 220 TV radio terrestrial satellites, and the potential for millions of iTunes downloads. Once again, I'm joined by yet another phenomenal guest. My guest today is a gentleman by the name of Amos Born Traeger. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about who Amos is. Who is Amos? Well, known as a public speaker, author, and business coach, Amos Born Traeger is creating hope and delivering a message which has helped thousands of people rise above mediocrity and to follow their dreams as he learned to do. Amos was born and raised in an Amish community until 5 years ago, and he tells his story in his book, From Buggy to Benz, of how he turned adversities, values, and truths he experienced as a child growing up into multi-million dollar businesses. So, Amos, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your hectic schedule to join myself and the loyal listeners here today. How are you, my friend?
Lisa, I'm doing well. The honor is certainly mine to be able to be on your show.
Oh, well, that's a lovely thing to say. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, what I always do, Amos, when I get right into this, because, of course, as I mentioned, this is unscripted dialogue. I think it just makes for a much more organic and authentic discussion, and you never know what's going to come out of it as a result of approaching it that way. So I'm always actually interested in first finding out, as I'm sure the listeners are too, the inception of my guest journey. So where did this all begin from you? You talk about having come from an Amish community up until just recently, 5 years ago, and exiting that. So for those who wouldn't have insight into what that type of lifestyle is all about, can you maybe perhaps share some of that and maybe how that ties into some of the adversities we mentioned in the bio?
Sure, I would love to. And first, Lisa, I also want to say I not only appreciate and really feel honored and consider this a privilege to be able to be on your podcast, but also the things that you stand for and believe in are things that just really resonated with me as I was listening to your podcast and, of course, following you on social media. There's so much that we may not think that we might have in common, but when we get down to the bottom of it, regardless of where we came from or how we grew up, you know, there's just so many things that entrepreneurs might have in common, especially people that have to face their fears and really make major changes in their life. And so for myself, Lisa, some of the biggest things that really, I guess, was a tough transformation, if you will, and of course tough is only as tough as long as we allow it to be or as long as we choose for it to be. But in my situation, for people that maybe don't understand the Amish culture, we live without like running water, if you will, no indoor plumbing, no electricity. Everything has to be done by hand, whatever we do, and especially in my communities, we were very laid back, if you will, and just had no conveniences at all use in today's society. So, for myself, Lisa, it was one of those things where I really thought that was going to be the rest of my life. But there came a point in time, Lisa, where I found myself in a position, both health-wise and also financially, where I knew I needed to do something different. And I really always felt like there was something more that could be done. I could do something more than what I've been doing. However, due to the fact that I was dyslexic and because of that, our communities didn't really know how to handle that. So they didn't know it was called dyslexic. So they just really thought this person wasn't able to learn. So I always, when I share that part of it, people are like, oh my gosh, so you got very little schooling. That's so true. But I've come to understand self-education and have spent hours and days and actually years self-educating myself in so many different areas. And I like to say that I have a unique advantage above everybody else is because I've had to self-educate myself. I had the privilege to do that, even though at the time I didn't realize the value that that added. But today I realize how much that has actually been able to elevate me. Number one was it forced me to face my fears. It forced me to step out. It forced me to do things that under any other circumstances I certainly would not have done. So what I've come to understand is all these adversities and what I used to think were adversities, the things that I thought were liabilities really have transformed into assets for me. And, you know, just some of the most simple things that maybe we don't think of can sometimes create the biggest transformation.
Absolutely. Well, you know, talking about elevation, what I'm going to say, having listened to that and having learned a little bit more about you than behind the scenes when we spoke on the phone in preparing for this interview, you know, my level of respect for you just really went through the roof there because, you know, as you know, Amos, and I believe in synergies, and I believe that there's no coincidence attached to how people come into your life and how people just show up, you know, and I think a lot of that's attributed to the energies that we choose to emit, and I believe it's a choice. I believe a lot of what we're talking about here is based on choice. And so rather than you focusing on what was perceivably at once upon a time deficits and liabilities, you took that and you thought, okay, maybe I have to figure this out. Maybe I have to get very clear on what it is that I still believe that I'm deserving and worthy to achieve in my life, knowing that by doing so and choosing to do so, it will be in alignment and congruency with what I identify for myself as my purpose and my passion. And so rather than focusing on the things that you could have very easily wound up just, you know, resigning yourself to believing nothing's ever going to happen, you know, there's no real grand future in store for you, you thought, okay, you know, there's many different ways to learn. And a lot of how we tackle our resourcefulness and our gumption and our fortitude is based on shifting our mindset. So let's talk about mindset. How has your mindset transformed, particularly in the last 5 years of exiting Amish community?
Well, very good. And that's probably one of my favorite things that I love to talk about. But I guess the first thing that really helped me transform, that helped me, you know, change my mindset, the first change of mindset that I had was when I realized that, you know, I can no longer put the blame on where I came from. I can no longer put the blame on the fact that I did get very little education. I can no longer say, well, listen, you know, I grew up in a different environment. I don't understand all these different things. So today, you know, when somebody's talking to me and they're talking about sports or whatever it may be, I'll just be upfront. You know, I really don't know a whole lot about that simply because I didn't grow up with it, but I'm interested. Share with me. So the idea is to simply be open about what I know that I don't know. However, the thing that's probably changed the most for me was when I took full responsibility for who I was, where I was at, and I realized that up to that point, Lisa, I simply was exactly where I had chose to be. And so, you know, once I understood that from this day forward, a year from now, I will be where I choose to be. Nobody else will impact me or keep me from, well, yes, there's a lot of people that will impact me. I have a lot of mentors that help me move up. But nobody's going to keep me from moving up. It's going to be my choices. And when I took full responsibility and realized that it totally is all up to me. It's me, my choices that I make, whether I choose to be positive, whether I choose to be negative, or I choose to go back into some of the old programs, or whether I choose to avoid those use everything that happens for me as a learning curve and expect to learn from everything that happens, things that maybe don't feel good at the time, you know, there's always something good there. And I just realized that I can choose to learn from those. So the choice of changing the mindset from things happen to me to recognizing that everything is there, can be for a good reason. Whether or not I choose for it to be is my choice. However, taking full responsibility for where I am, who I am, and where I'm going changed everything for me.
Stellar. Stellar. Absolutely love it. Everything you're saying resonates with me 120%. So, you know, what I would also be interested to know is, again, once again, the loyal listeners to Amos, is, you know, we often talk about having to recalibrate and deconstruct and deprogram what's been indoctrinated into our original way of thinking or our belief systems, which, again, could be imparted and impressed upon us either through parents, community, culture, religion, parenting, you name it, the list goes on. So in terms of you getting exceptionally clear, which I believe for anybody to honor who and what their purpose is and to take it to the next level in their life, you really do have to get exceptionally clear. So how can you maybe perhaps explain to us the ways in which you had to deconstruct your original program thinking, and when you became cognizant of that? Maybe it was brought on by something cathartic. Maybe it was, you know, I can't take this anymore. You just reached your all-time bottom low. Maybe you could share a little bit of that with us, Amos.
Yes. Wow. Very good. Talk about hitting a bottom low was actually, that was 5 years ago. Health-wise, Crohn's disease, dealing with a lot of different health issues, wasn't looking good, in and out of the hospital a lot. Financially, wasn't where I wanted to be, not even close. At that point in time, I'll never forget, that was that one day that I just realized that, you know, I've been being influenced by a lot of people. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do certain things that I wanted to do in business, based on our community's beliefs. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things that I felt I was capable of doing and wanted to do, and it could have set my family free financially. So, you know, there was just this one day that I'm sitting in the very town right now that I was in that day I made that decision, and something had happened that day that I realize as long as I'm buying these people's opinions and buying into what they're asking me to do, I'm also buying their lifestyle. I'm buying their financial status. I'm buying everything that they have as long as I'm living up to what they're asking me to do. And it really just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks all of a sudden. I realized that I'm going to have to change who I listen to if I want to have a change of where I'm going. And that very day, I made a decision that I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I'm going to listen to whomever I need to that's going to elevate me to the levels that I want to go to, that's going to help me and direct me in the right direction. And I really don't care the cost, the sacrifices that it'll take. I was sick and tired of being where I was at. I was done with it. There was no future in where I was going. There was just nothing to look forward to in the current circumstance and the state that I was in.
You there, Amos?
And Lisa, that was probably the turning point. The right people started coming into my life. That's when I started listening to the right people and, of course, was directed in the right direction. Opportunities started to show up, and I actually looked at them from a different perspective. And from that, Lisa, it was just a complete transformation for myself. It wasn't easy. That's when the tough really began. That's when I had to start facing my fears. The thing that I feared the most was public speaking. And that was one of the first few things that I was asked to do in the business that I chose to do next. And so, of course, I realized after a bit that I could either keep running from it or I could face it and try to do it. I got definitely sick every time I thought about it, but I do it anyway. And after a bit, it didn't, you know, I got a little bit easier and a little bit easier. But what I learned from that was in all areas of our life, we're going to have to face our fears. We're going to have to step up. And if we don't, we'll just choose to stay in the same place regardless of where it is that we're at. We're all at a different level, and we all have a certain amount of things that a certain fear that we need to address, a certain fear that we can choose to step into and choose to overcome. So, Lisa, I guess my biggest thing was just making that decision, just making that choice that this is it. This is the end of living the way I've been living. I didn't have the answers. I don't need to have all the answers when I make that choice. Making the choice is what makes the difference.
Fantastic. Well, a lot of bullseyes and bingos there with your answers. And, you know, had you not made the decision to, you know, resurrect things and change things and transform things, and if I hadn't made the same decisions, you and I wouldn't be talking today. We wouldn't be joined by the listeners. You wouldn't be in the world of doing what you do to impart your message to thousands and thousands of people, nor would I. So I'm so grateful that although we never knew each other once upon a time, that through you choosing to do the work and myself choosing to do the work, we are now on the same similar path. So good job, my friend. You there, Amos?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so sorry, I don't know if it's the connection. There's been a bit of cutting out, so we'll just keep going as we can because this is welcome to the world of technology, right? But you know, we know that there is a mind-body-spirit connection when it comes to what we do, being in the personal development world and choosing to help find other people's voices, help other people find their own voices in terms of empowering other people and just using our story, our example, the tools that are in our toolbox and some of the strategies that we've navigated, maneuvered along the way, you know, to take it outside of ourselves, because it's not about us, it's about the collective. So in terms of the mind-body-spirit connection and knowing that there is that correlation between mindset and physiology and cellular movement and, you know, everything that's embodied within us, we emit out into the universe. So how has your health been as a result of some of these major transformational changes you've made?
Oh, my health has been incredible since. It's taken a while. The illness that I just described doesn't, like, disappear overnight, and it normally doesn't come overnight either. So, but it has been, the transformation's been incredible. Today, 5 years later, 98% better than I was 5 years ago when I was in and out of the hospital a lot, with really no hope, medically speaking, to move forward in that arena. So I contribute a lot of that also to the mindset, to being able to change the mindset, to being able to John Maxwell says it so well, where there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. And you know, once I had hope in the future, I realized that, hey, listen, my life is not over. I really have an opportunity. Yes, there was lots of sacrifices. We had to, you know, we're like rejected from not only our family, but all of our community. Once you step out of the Amish community, it's another story. You don't go back to visit, especially in my community. So there was a lot of sacrifice. However, I also had a lot of hope, Lisa. There was, you know, there was this idea that my life is really just beginning. There was this idea that there's all these things that I dreamed about and actually had wanted to do as a kid, kind of started coming back. It's like, is this for real? Is this possible? Can I actually be the guy that I wanted to be? You know, most of my life, Lisa, I'd spent my time trying to prove to these people that I wasn't who they said I was. I wasn't this stupid kid that couldn't do well in life. I wasn't this guy that whatever they had said, all these interesting things that they'd said. But lately, after you know, I made this step and this transformation, I began to realize that that's the least bit of my goals today. It's not about proving to anybody. I have nothing to prove to anyone except myself. Mm-hmm. And my job is, like you said, Lisa, is this is collective. This is about making a better life for someone else. It's about understanding people. It's about knowing where people are at and helping them get from where they're at to where they want to go. I've been there. I've been at the bottom, both health-wise and financially. I've been at the bottom from being in a culture. I've been at the bottom in so many different areas. I can relate. I understand. But I also don't take excuses because I know that there is none. I mean, anybody, regardless of where we're at, what our circumstances are, I'll listen. I'm empathetic with it. But I'm not going to take by your excuse. You can pull out of it. Anybody can pull out of wherever they're at. There just is nothing that can keep us in one particular situation other than our own choices.
Absolutely. Again, once again, I wholeheartedly agree with you 100%. So, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about your book? You know, when was the inception of the book? Again, was there, rather than telling the tale and contrasting your life before within the Amish community, exiting the Amish community, and of course that being very much encompassed in the premise of your book, but was there an actual incident or something cathartic that happened to you that resonated with you that made you realize, okay, I need to write this book and I need to write it now, and this is exactly what I know it needs to be about?
Wow. That's a different subject, the book. To be honest, the reason I started writing the book, yes, there was various things that came up that caused me to write it, number one. You know, you talked earlier about programs that we have and that maybe are – every time we get put in a certain position, new in our life, we're always having new experiences, and we always respond in a certain way to all new experiences. The next time we get put in that experience, it's just really natural to do the same thing we've done before. We create programs, and I realized that to really get rid of these programs and to help people see that it doesn't matter where they come from, who they are, who they think they are, everybody can have the level of success that they want. So that was part of the reason to write the book, which is to give people hope. Because, again, I strongly believe, Lisa, that when people have hope in their life, they walk and they talk with a different spirit. They appreciate what they've got from a complete different – when you have no hope, people don't appreciate things. I just see this all day long. People that really don't think there's any hope for them, they're also not appreciative. So I feel that whenever we can create hope with people, it sets them up for the first step of success. So that's part of why the book was written, was to give people hope. Hey, listen, if this guy can do it and be successful in a world of technology, when he came from a world that he was not only not taught to not have technology, but was literally shunned to even think about having technology, you know, to stepping into this and not only understanding it, but doing well in this world of technology, anybody can do it. And it didn't just have to be technology. But I'm using this term because that's what we live on. That's what we do today. That's what we use to communicate. And that's our main source of communication today. So that was to give people hope. Number two, it allowed me to relive all those things and decide what portion of it that was actually going to go in there and what portion was it. I mean, there's most of the adversities did not land in the book, but enough of a flavor to give people an idea that, listen, you know, if somebody like this can do well, we can do well as well. So my hope and dream is that this will continue impacting people in a way of inspiring them to take action on their own dreams and to take action and realize that their life is not over, just like mine. They can become anything they choose to do in as short a period of time as they choose to make it in.
Fantastic. Well, let me ask you this, because a lot of people, when they cite who was most tangible or instrumental when it comes to leadership, when it comes to role modeling, and when it comes to examples, a lot of people will oftentimes not all times, but in some cases, cite their parents, whether it be the strong influence of a mother or the strong influence of the father, or in some cases, people are fortunate to say both. Now, given that you exited the community and, of course, you're making a stand and your value system and your goals are then no longer congruent with the mindset or the value system of what you have been raised and brought up in. So if not with the support and the role modeling and the endorsement of your parents, per se, and your community, who then became instrumental in your journey in terms of mentorship, whether it be tangible or intangible, Amos?
Wow, there's a lot of different people that have impacted my life in a big way. I would like to say one of them would be John Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Port with Heroic Public Speaking. There's just so many different people that literally I'm in contact with weekly. And, of course, Lisa, recently, just your podcasting has been so inspiring and
wow.
Helpful to me as well. So I'm always in that curious, learning, growing, evolving stage, and I'll never come out of that. I'll never lose my curiosity. I'll never lose my desire to dream more and desire to become more. So I would like to say people like Tony Robbins and Will Smith. Matter of fact, I know some of his mentors. And so just a lot of different people like that that maybe have met with adversities and have moved up in life. I love Tony Robbins' story of how he started out as a young man, you know, going through a lot of different adversities. I can relate to a lot of those things. And that's very, you know, instrumental to me to hear that, because it's like, okay, he has no excuse. He took no excuses. He made no excuses. He went on. I really don't have any either. My story is different, yes, but it's still all the same in the end. It was his choices that put him where he's at today. And it's going to be my choices that'll put me a year from now where I want to be, or a little bit closer to where I want to be. So I would like to say, you know, a lot of those well-known speakers, just listening to them every day, listening to, and then, of course, if I can get a chance to get to their events and actually talk to them, I'll always take the time to do that, as well as I appreciate and so value the time that I've taken in visiting with you. And as you figured out, every time we talk, Lisa, I'm always full of questions, and and I thank you for all your answers. You've been so helpful to me.
Well, Amos, I want to say thank you for the compliment and the kind words, but certainly that works both ways. And again, as I prefaced you, and I say quite publicly and quite consistently, vibe attracts tribe. So again, the clearer you become, the more on fire you become, the more non-negotiable certain things become within your own DNA. And I really believe you can rewire your DNA. It's been done and it's been proven time and time again when people talk about the before and after contrast of the transformations that have occurred in their life based on their mindset. And so what you believe, and if it's authentically believed and spoken and dialogued within yourself, it just becomes like brushing your teeth. It becomes like any other simple so-called mundane task of how we execute and navigate our 24/7, you know, 365 days a year. So, you know, so it does align you. You know, it does align me, having chosen to do so, with people such as yourself, Amos. And I'm eternally grateful. I'm eternally grateful to you, every person who I've had the blessing and the privilege and the honor of showcasing on radio, to all the loyal listeners who, you know, very much sponge up the content and the information that's shared between myself and my guests. Because for people who are searching, for people who are hungry, for people who are perhaps a little bit disillusioned, they know they want to play a bigger game. They know they deserve more. They know that life is too short not to be fulfilled, not to be happy, not to be internally successful, intrinsically successful, with however people choose to define that for themselves. People will tune into this show to learn things, as I'm learning from you, just listening to you as one of my guests. And I can't thank you enough. So having said that, Amos, for those who are listening, similar and not unlike what you would share when you take the stage or you do mentoring and coaching with your clients, what would you say as maybe a few quick, simple, understandable, easy tools or nuggets or gems that you can impart to the listening audience for those who want to just get off the fence and eradicate themselves from the mediocrity and from being immobilized in fear? What would you say?
wow, there's so many different ways to go. And you talked about in the coaching, and of course that's quite different because there we're listening to people and learning what's going on with them and just mm-hmm. takes a few words to figure out where somebody is at. I think oftentimes, when I ask people to, you know, they're coming with their problems, they're trying to figure out where they want to go. Most people are looking at where they want to go and really don't pay attention to where they're at. You know, we can drop somebody off in a desert somewhere and they have no clue what desert they're at and what country they're in. And we can give them a compass, but they'll never get to Phoenix, Arizona because they don't know where they're at. And so I like to help people kind of figure out where they are. And my suggestion is anybody can figure out where they're at. You can, if you take a moment to look at your programs, how do I respond to certain things happening in my daily life? How do I respond to when someone that I love maybe says something or someone that I don't like says something that I don't like? Whatever it is, there's so many different areas that we recognize patterns with ourselves. Sometimes we clam up. Sometimes we might lose it. Whatever it is, we can look at patterns and pretty quick figure out where we're at. And as soon as we know where we're at, then we can figure out how to get to the next place. It's virtually impossible for most people to get to where they want to go without realizing where they're at. So my first suggestion is, where are you at? What's keeping you from taking that step? Why would you not take that step? I mean, most people don't even know why they don't take that step. They come up with some lame idea, and the bottom line is that's a program to procrastinate. That's just mm-hmm. one of their programs. So once we figure out where we're at, what is truly keeping me? Why can't I make that decision today? Matter of fact, 2 days ago I had this conversation in up in Akron, Ohio, and the lady was like, you know, I just don't know. I know I need to make a change in my life. I know I need to, a business person, I know I need to go to the second, you know, the next level of my business. And so the question was very simple. Why? Why are you not doing it now? When is that day that you're going to say enough is enough? So my question was, you know, give me an answer. I had a pen and paper ready. Tell me, what day are you going to decide that this is it? I'm going to the next level. I'm taking my business to the next level. I'm doing whatever it needs to be done to go there. Because I'd like to know which day you're going to decide to do that, because I don't want to waste a lot of time until you decided that you're going to move forward with your life.
Right.
So why don't you tell me, and then we'll get this marked down, and then we'll plan on that day. Needless to say, that very day she made the decision.
Great. Well, and again, that reiterates and reinforces what you said at the top of the hour about accountability. You have to take responsibility. And, you know, I really believe our DNA and the way in which we dialogue with ourselves, it's, you've got to be emphatic. You know, you've got to be obsessed with it. You've got to be 100% all in. You've got to be committed. And yes, we know, and we can talk a little bit about this too in terms of the realities of how, as an entrepreneur especially, or in my case, being a solopreneur, you know, when you start evolving, when you start momentously raising and rising, you know, more things get added to the pot. There's more correspondence, there's more deadlines, there's more objectives, there's more clients, there's more projects, there's more of everything. And so if you're truly committed for that to not only maintain at that level, but you're wanting to expand, you're continually wanting to expand, you're continually wanting to grow, you know, you have to be 100% adamant with yourself. And again, how you dialogue with yourself is everything, because we're with ourselves 24/7, regardless of who our mentors are, or what books we choose to read, or what YouTube videos we choose to view and listen to. But it's very important that you say, this is non-negotiable. I don't care if my computer falls apart. I don't care if, you know, people get sick, or if I'm left holding the ball, or whatever the circumstances may be, you know, or third-party people that you're reliant upon. And in fairness to them, life happens, and people get dealt sometimes a not very good card that they have to deal with unforeseen circumstances all the time. But you can't sit in that, and you can't use that as an excuse. You've got to move on. You've got to move on. So, you know, what do you say to people in terms of, well, going back to what you said about that person writing down, you know, today, we're going forward with this today. Again, it is about accountability. It is about taking complete 100% ownership. And what I love and what we share in common as far as our being enamored and respecting Tony Robbins. You know, he says the number one thing that's important, which is true, is resourcefulness. You know, if you are resourceful, you can find whatever you need. Whatever roadblock you feel that you've come up against, you can overcome that by being resourceful. And particularly in this industry of, you know, social media and networking and connecting, there really is no excuse.
Yes, I love what you said about being resourceful. I had to chuckle on that one because it really relates to myself in terms of, you know, English is not my first language. So I've worked very, very hard on improving that in the last several years. But I still struggle sometimes to find the right word to describe what I'm trying to say in English. And I'm going to try to keep it English for the rest of the conversation. However, for the sake of the conversation is, I have to be resourceful. I have to figure out different ways of sometimes expressing, sometimes helping people in business, in whatever it may be, because I do work with a lot of different languages. I do work with a lot of different people. But, you know, being resourceful, we totally have what it takes to do whatever we choose to. I believe it's within each and every person. If they have a dream of something, they've also got the ways to make it happen. But until we know that we've got that, we don't take action on it. People that don't believe that they can do something won't take step number one. They just don't. And Lisa, we talked a little bit about the lady that, you know, then made a choice that day to change her life, and she did. She's been having very good success the last couple of days in her traditional business. However, making that choice, making that decision is sometimes a program, because people were told their whole life what to do and what they can't do. And I find this as a very powerful program, and people don't realize that they've got it. They almost have to wait on somebody to tell them it's okay to go change their life. Mm-hmm. It's okay to go do whatever they want to do in life. We wait on somebody to give us the right. And I like to give people the right to do that, but then I don't like to give them the right to do that. I want them to do it themselves, because if I give you the right to go change your life, which, Lisa, you don't need, you are changing your life and millions of others by what you do. But however, for people that are waiting for somebody to give them the right to go do it and give them the encouragement, that's great. However, I'm going to encourage you, do it anyway. Just step up. Don't wait on somebody, because what if that person doesn't show up?
Yeah.
What if he's not there to tell you to change your life? Somebody needs to take ownership and just know that you can do it. You've got it within you. We all do. The answers are within us if we just search, if we just look, and realize that once we make a choice, the answers almost always start showing up one at a time. The things that we need, where we need to go, yes, we mess up a lot. That's great. Learn from it. But go on. Do it again. Do it again until you actually start realizing that you have what it takes. Oh, isn't that interesting, Lisa, when you start getting to a level of success and then people go, how did you get so lucky?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't agree with the word luck. I think it's a very misconstrued, very misunderstood, and very misapplied word in the English language. You know, and a lot of the inspirational videos that I soak up, a lot of the yumminess in the personal development world, you know, in its repetition, I listen to the same things that really resonate with me repeatedly and consistently, not only when I'm up, but when I'm feeling challenged and when I know I need to shift again and recalibrate very, very quickly. And because I'm now wired to be responsive to that, to be receptive to that, that switch that I need to occur to get me back on track and get me back on my game, that's almost instantaneous. But the other thing too that, you know, we often hear about is, you know, people will, they'll look at, they'll, this is where people get called like an overnight success. And there's videos that I've watched that very succinctly cite, you know, what people are rewarded for in public, that people have to realize that what you see is what has gone on behind the scenes for hours, laboring, sweating, crying in private. But it's been the commitment and the tenacity and the gumption, the fortitude, and being resolute with the conviction of, I am not going to quit. I don't care what X amount of, you know, adversities or obstacles or challenges get thrown in my way, I've got the mindset I need to tackle and overcome every single one of them, because I do understand fundamentally within all of this, this being my journey, my choice, my purpose, my vocation, my whatever, this is my responsibility. This is my responsibility. And when you get to and cross over and you get to that level where, again, through repetition and pattern, like I go live every Friday, you know, I'm always seeking all kinds of guests. You know, there's a lot of work that's involved in that. Some people, they honor their commitment. They show up. They're prepared. Some people lead you to believe that they're going to come on radio and for whatever reason don't communicate with you, whatever the reason, and it could be legitimate, it could be justifiable of why it's not going to happen, you know. And it doesn't change or deviate from the way that I do things. You know, I'm very savvy with my marketing. I use social media as a 3D visionary board. I show that I'm holding myself accountable. I'm showing that I can be the example of what can be achievable in other people's lives, whether it's not compatible with what I do per se or not. But for whatever people are hungry for, you know, I use social media as a 3D visionary board, because if people see, okay, well, you know, this didn't happen for Lisa. Like she said she was going to go after this. She was manifesting this. Well, you know, I'm not the general manager of the universe. I can't control what other people do, don't do, follow through on or not. But I can still show through my own patterns, my own habits, that this is where I'm at, and I'm going to keep going. I don't care how many no's I get. I don't care how many disappointments I get. I don't care how many times I fumble and fall flat on my face. I am not going to change the methodology of what's already proven to be successful for me based in alignment with how I choose to navigate my journey, because that's my responsibility.
Wow. I so love what you said there when you I just went blank on that one, but you were talking about taking ownership and knowing that you're going to do it regardless of what happens.
Yes.
In my case, Lisa, you know, it really, I had shared this earlier, but it's true. I got to the point to where I realized I was going to do whatever it took to be successful in whatever industry that I chose to do it in, mm-hmm. not only regardless of what anybody else thought, but it was do or die. I
yep.
did not care. It wasn't, life wasn't worth living unless I could live it to its fullest. Once
yep.
I believed that was possible, Lisa, there was nothing holding me from going all out. I was, life, again, once you taste the possibilities of being successful, not just in all of our success, it's different, but mine was, I just hated, you know, I think oftentimes people, it's not as much about what they want as what they don't want. And in my case, I hated living in fear. I hated living in poverty. I hated not being well, physically. There were so many different things that I just absolutely despised. And so for me, it was like, I'm going to either do or die. I'm going to literally, I will accomplish it or die trying. Because I don't want to live like this anymore. I hear this so often when people say, I don't want to live like this anymore. Are you serious? Do you really not want to live like that
right.
anymore? Because that embodies something completely different. That means you're willing to do whatever it takes. And, of course, nobody's going to die in a traditional business just going all out. But still, that mentality is what's needed to take a person, if you're going to do it quickly, really, how bad do you want to not live like you've been living? How bad do you want this success that Lisa has? How bad do you want that? I mean, really, are you willing to just, like, walk by the restaurant and smell it, or are you going to get the full-fledged meal? I'm going to go for all that's there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I just had this thought occur to me, and this has been discussed on radio, and it's something I talk about, again, quite openly and quite consistently with, because I truly do believe it, and I like to share things that I know are going to resonate with the listening audience and the podcast subscribers. So, you know, it's some people, and there's, when you're a public figure, when you're out in the public, you know, some people are going to automatically understand who you are and what you're attempting to do. People are going to understand that there's a certain aspect of what you have to do, particularly in the world of technology and being an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, where you have to put things out there. It's not a plug for Lisa McDonald. It's not like, look at me, look at me. It's not about narcissism. It's not about ego. But because everything I do, and wanting my goal is to take my message of living fearlessly to the collective, to the masses. And of course, I'm going to use my platform. I'm going to use the 300,000 podcast subscribers that are gracious enough to tune in to me. I am going to make take full advantage of the 145 countries in which this is being aired. I am going to connect with everybody on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I'm going to do all that because I walk my talk. If I say I need to take this message of living fearlessly and be the example how other people who are still stuck on the fence, who are hungry and just lapping up whatever people like you and myself, Amos, can offer them, because it could just be one thing that's been said by 50 million other people in the personal development industry or by their family or by their friends, but perhaps the way you say it, Amos, or the way I say it, or your example which you cite to illustrate your point, and vice versa, me doing the same, that's what tweaks for somebody. And if I know something that can perceivably tweak for somebody, which ultimately stands to change the trajectory of the rest of their life, then it's selfish for me not to do that. It's selfish for me to harbor the fruits of my labor or my insights or my experiences. If I can impart things that are going to help people maybe alleviate some of the drawn out mistakes that I've made over the course of my life and hard, you know, school of knocks, if I can save people the time to start expediting and doing it right away by saying something that tweaks or bringing a guest on that can manage to do the same, that's my inherent responsibility. That is my inherent responsibility to be socially responsible.
Wow. I so resonate and appreciate that. That is so true. It really is. And as we think in terms of so many people are hungry and they're desiring a better life, and, you know, I still depend on great speakers and leaders and thought leaders and people that are blazing trails in their own field to motivate me and inspire me and give me that extra little thing, you know, like I might listen to your podcast a number of times and then you're saying something that you might have said a number of times and all of a sudden it just resonates and it carries a different value. So I agree with you. For all of us, we have something of value that will change someone else's life. And yes, for us not to live up to our full potential and then also to get it out to the masses really is being selfish. And for someone that, like myself, so hungry to have more, to be all that I can possibly be, there is no caps, no limits. I want to just go to the top of wherever that top is, you know. I don't have a limit to where that is, but I do know that I am unlimited into where I can go. So, yes, that is, I so appreciate and thank you for that statement, as I know I have a lot of people listening in as well about, you know, that's being selfish to not get this out to people, to not get your message to the ones that are needing that the way it's said, the way you said it, that can change their life.
Well, thank you for that. But I mean, my energy just comes through the airways because I really believe all this stuff. I truly, truly believe all this stuff. And, you know, I'm very clear on what my purpose is. I'm very clear on what my passions are. I'm really clear on who the intended audience is here and the demographics. And the thing is, we're all human beings. We're all human beings, you know. We all understand what it is to exist within the spectrum of feeling isolated, feeling invisible, feeling unheard, feeling misunderstood, feeling dismissed, feeling excluded, feeling all those things, you know, whether it's in the world of personal development or just whatever it is that's gone on for individual people within their own set of circumstances, in their own lives, in their own cultures, in their own family upbringings, in their own marriages, in their own parenting with their children, their own careers, whatever the case may be. So it's very, you know, this applies. What we're talking about, even though we're immersed in the personal development industry, and we are fiercely committed to that, you know, what we're talking about applies to every single person who's living and breathing and walking. Truly, it does. Because it's attitude. Attitude is generic. You know, it's not demographic specific. It's not gender specific. Mindset, that's for everybody. That's for everybody. You know, overcoming adversity, that's not just for authors and radio show hosts and podcasters. That is for everybody. Everything we're talking about, living fearlessly and eradicating your life from fear and mediocrity, that applies to every single person, no matter where you come from or what your current circumstances are. This is the importance of these types of programs, this kind of dialogue, this kind of content. And this is a way that Amos and I can you know, collectively, jointly share in imparting our lessons, because this is our way of also choosing to pay it forward and be of service. Because it's not about Amos specific, and it's not about Lisa specific. It's not even about the Contact Talk Radio Network specific or podcast subscribers. This is about really helping shift the planet and the way that the universe thinks, truly.
Wow. So powerful. I so agree with that. And what you said last there is about how the universe thinks, how people think. You know, I'd love to at one point to go more into the universe. I know that today is not the perfect day for that, as we're running close to the end.
Yeah, we actually have about 3 minutes, Amos, and I want to give you the opportunity to invite people to follow you and to know where to find you. So not to cut you off in mid-sentence, but being cognizant of time, I'd be remiss if we didn't give people the opportunity to know how to find you and follow you.
Absolutely. So, Lisa, you know, by email is coachamos@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter as well as Facebook. I have a number of different social medias, but the coachamos.com is probably the most popular one that people contact us. From that point, we can exchange numbers with people and talk to them and see what we're doing, whether we can be of value to people. But that's the easiest way. For my book is under amosborntrigger.com. And I have two books there. The one is my story, and the other one really is for my team, basically, as a platform of setting goals and the different things that we do in everyday life. And I really think setting goals is so important, regardless of what business we're in, regardless of what we do. Setting goals is so important, and without a goal, it's just so easy to hit nothing. You know, people get excited and they want to change their life, but just wanting to change my life is not enough. But
right,
knowing where I'm going to go to do it and how I'm going to do it is what's really going to set up the success or failure. And many times when we don't have that, you know, we blame other things. So I think setting goals is a big deal. And that's my book, you will basically just find, is written to help people realize that whatever they want to have in life is very possible for them.
Beautiful. Well, Amos, I can't thank you enough. This has been absolutely, I can honestly say, one of my favorite chats here on Living Fearlessly with Lisa McDonald, the Contact Talk Radio Network. We've been in contact numerous times before ramping up the show and before going live today. We will continue to remain in contact. That I have no doubt about whatsoever. Really encouraging people who were gracious enough to join in with the live broadcast here. Please, you know, play it back when the podcast gets uploaded shortly. Play back, take notes, really sponge up what Amos has had to share here and impart with you. You know, there's a reason why people like this come on our guests on my show. It's for the collective. Really want to help people make fundamental, core, necessary, positive changes within their lives, all under the umbrella, of course, of living fearlessly. So I want to thank my listening audience once again for taking time out of your schedule to join myself and my guest here today on Living Fearlessly with Lisa McDonald with the Contact Talk Radio Network. I go live every Friday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. I want to thank you once again for being one of almost 300,000 now Living Fearlessly podcast subscribers. Couldn't be doing this in a vacuum. Can't do it on my own. It's not about doing things on my own. It's about sharing the wealth with everybody. So I want to wish everybody a fantastic weekend. Please be safe. Looking forward to rejoining you here again next Friday. Love and gratitude. All my best, and continue to live a life of living fearlessly. Thank you. All my best. Bye, Amos.
You've been listening to Living Fearlessly with your host, Lisa McDonald. Visit her at lisamcdonaldauthor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.